Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
I actually met my wife on CatholicSingles.com, if you can believe that.
Really?
And about, yes, I had never done that before. Didn't have any problems with dating.
Natalie and Aaron met on CatholicSingles.com after they realized that they needed to find someone who shared their faith. Meet other faithful Catholics on the original Catholic dating site. Download our app today for free. Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.hollow.app/breadbox.
Welcome to Holy Smokes Catholic Review, your weekly dose of good cigars and the good news. This podcast is brought to you by St. John Vianney Catholic Church in Rio Rancho, New Mexico. Incensing the temple today, Father Scott Mansfield, pastor and former rock radio DJ, Tony Willamitis, the guy who knows everything, and Will Tapia, the guy who thinks he knows everything. Now, here's your host, Father Scott.
Thank you, Scott Chapin. It is Holy Smokes Catholic Review. Father Scott along with Tony and Will.
You know.
Yo.
How much do we owe Scott Chapin now? How much do we pay him every time he does that little bit
well,
at the beginning?
Well, we got a tab.
And, that's quite a tab.
Yeah, it's been going, what is this, 3 years now? So
Is it 3 years? It
feels like it's been 10.
I mean, we're not even on a full year cycle of readings, I don't think.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, we are. We're
more than that. A year and a half, maybe 2 years.
Well, we owe him some money or some cigars or something.
Yeah.
Don't say that on air because now.
I know. We'll be held accountable
like
to it. Does he listen to this? He doesn't listen to this.
No.
No one listens to this. What?
What am I doing? We've been doing this for how long?
The
for
three of us also don't listen to this.
Hey, I used to listen to it.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Well, after I kind of figured it out. Once I listened to the podcast and realized it was the same thing that I had been a part of days earlier, then I stopped listening.
It's a great excuse. I love it.
I realized it was just a recording of what I had already said. I didn't understand that at first, but I figured it out.
Genius revelation,
yeah,
Tony.
I know, right?
Yeah. You really are and smart.
Yeah, well, we have a few listeners.
Yeah, we do. Absolutely.
Do.
We'll have to do some. Don't let me forget. We'll have to do some shout outs before it's over. So, yeah. Will, in the background, we've once more got the bone-chewing dog. And it's red. Red is back.
We said goodbye to that dog 2 weeks ago.
We've been saying goodbye to that dog for a while.
Well, it looks like William is now the proud owner of a dog.
You know what else is here?
That's fake news, dude. That is some fake news, Father Scott.
Chewbacca is here, too. Can you hear that? I brought Chewbacca. Whoa. Will brought Red. I can't even speak. Brought Red. I'm glad to see Red's around.
Now, explain what that is. It's the chair moving across the floor.
It is the
but
chair
it sounds,
moving across
the floor. It does. It sounds just like Chewbacca.
It did sound like Chewbacca. That's what I'm saying. I brought my pet Chewbacca with me. Speaking of fostering animals, just yesterday I ran into somebody who fosters kittens. And then when the kittens get to a certain age, they just turn them back into the shelter. I don't know if that's the normal plan or if that's just the plan this time.
They had like
four or five kittens in their home. And of course, they have little kids. And so it's fun for the kids to have kittens. And then at a certain age, they decided it's time. Now, I don't know. Maybe that wasn't a program that they were on. Maybe that was just they had tried out a few kittens and they realize it's not going to work, you know.
I know, but to me, once you have the animal, how can you get rid of it just that easy?
I mean,
people that are like, you know, they've had the dog for 3 years. Oh, we're tired of it. And they just find, I mean, that's not nice. That's not good to do to the dog. Poor dog.
Well,
you know, why do people do that?
I'm not sure.
I'm wondering.
You're very empathetic to the dogs.
Yeah,
of this
come on,
world, the
poor
dogs
animals.
And the cats of the of this world.
Yeah, William. By the way, there was this just dead quiet out of him. So
no,
we know that probably
he's stuck in the middle.
That's what I'm going to say. I agree with you. Like, if you have a dog or any kind of animal for an extended period of time, it's different. But I think, like, I mean, for fostering during quarantine, if it wasn't for him sitting right here, hanging out with me, walking 3 times a day, going on runs 3 times a week, he would be stuck in the kennel all day long, mm-hmm. walking like once every couple of days. They'd have to have more staff at the shelter, and potentially being exposed to coronavirus or whatever's going on over there, right? And so... I don't know. So for temporary stuff like this, I think it's a good thing. You know, it's going to be hard getting him into a family, but it'll be good once he gets into a home, a permanent home. So that's my thought on it.
And let's say no one comes through.
They will.
And let's say they don't.
While we're at it, let's say the sky turns red tomorrow. It's like we can all say weird things, right?
Actually, we don't have to wait till tomorrow. It's actually starting to turn red right now. I'm looking out the window. This is not a good sign.
Do you remember back, it was like 3 years ago when they had the big fire in Arizona?
Oh, yeah.
And the smoke came this way?
Oh, yeah.
And it was in the afternoon and the sun was setting?
Yeah.
The sky was orange. It was like an episode of Star Trek.
Yeah.
You know when they have the orange background,
That's right.
Mm-hmm. That's what it looked like.
Yeah, it's pretty freaky.
So freaky.
Pretty freaky. We've been, crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy things nature throws at us. You know, we were talking earlier about murder hornets coming our way. Terrible name for an insect, by the way, in my opinion. They should just call them hornets.
Yeah,
Japanese hornets or something.
So the praying mantis kills the hornet. So, but we don't call them killer mantises.
No, we don't.
Do we call them murdering mantises?
We call them praying, which is pretty menacing already.
Yeah, I guess you could say praying, P-R-E-Y.
Oh, but it's P-R-A-Y.
Or praying, P-R-A-Y. Right. But I think they're P-R-A-Y.
It is P-R-A-Y.
Because their hands look like they're folded.
Right, right.
Yeah, and that they're praying.
And they're selling. You know, you can buy the eggs at the nursery and...
Praying mantis?
Oh, yeah, because they're good for the garden.
And so you'll get... So now people are probably putting a rush on these praying mantis eggs to protect their gardens.
Well, I have yet to see one of these wasp...
Awesome. These know what I did
hornets.
Here.
And then you incubate them in toilet paper.
Notice.
Is this true? Is this true? But there's no toilet paper.
Not to mention.
It's all been hoarded.
Horneted. Yeah. So notice that that all the news stories that come out these days are all panic, are they're geared towards panic and fear, right? Mm-hmm. It seems like it's just one after another.
That's why you shouldn't watch the news.
After another, right. We should spend a lot more time reading the hope-filled messages of Scripture than watching the evening news. But notice, so, and even by its very name, you know, whoever called it originally the murder hornet, come on. I mean, like, that's a weighted term, you know. I'm not buying into it. Well, okay, all that being said, I did hear in a similar fashion that people started purchasing toilet paper in a panic way upon the arrival of the coronavirus. I did hear people now were buying... cans of that wasp spray and like using it profusely around anything that's flying. They kill it. That's
Dude,
what I've heard. There's there's anecdotes of people just going on a rampage
Dude,
to
that
all
stuff,
flying insects.
That stuff
because
will
one
kill
of them,
you before the coronavirus ever will. You spray your house with wasp spray.
Mark my words. When you go to the store next time, there's going to be a run on wasp spray and other...
Well, I didn't know they had wasp spray.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because it... shoots like really far away and it kills the wasps almost instantly.
Okay, so there's one spot in the United States where this thing has been located.
Yeah.
Okay,
Washington
one spot.
State.
It's like, is it Washington State?
Yeah.
Okay, Washington State. Not New Mexico, not Arizona, Texas, Colorado, Utah, no place except for that one spot. So why, if you live here, why would you be spraying for what?
But because you're afraid that it had already arrived and no one told you.
And like also, so this murder hornet has to sting you multiple times to actually pose a threat to your life. Mm-hmm. And out of all the people in Japan, like it's an insanely low statistic. Like 100 people a year are killed by this thing.
That's still
it's the
a lot.
Same rate. I know, but it's the same rate as like killer bees in the U.S. But we don't run around being all, you know, freaked out about bees, right?
Well, and like I was trying to make a point earlier before we started the podcast, some people are allergic to these kinds of bites and insects,
right.
And you know, it could be bad news regardless of whether it's called a murder hornet or just a hornet, you know.
Yeah, but those things are like 2 inches long. They're huge.
They're really big, yeah.
And they have those pinchers, and they eat meat.
I have a feeling
they eat meat.
So my other guesstimate was actually high. It's only 50 human fatalities a year.
Yeah.
In the
world.
Entirety of Asia,
okay.
Where they exist,
yeah.
50.
That doesn't will. Every life is precious.
And we're
I don't
over
know
here.
Why you're
yeah.
You're talking as if 50.
The murder
isn't
hornets
that
arrived
many?
On the shores of Washington.
Are they
dressed as pirates, blasting Slayer? That's basically.
Are they going to shut down the country and then blame Trump?
Well, I'm thinking probably
for the killer wasp.
Why not? Yeah.
The killer wasp.
It'll be somebody's fault that it shouldn't be.
Hey, yeah. So you know, speaking of such things in the pandemic, that we're a friend of mine sent me an article about in 1968 with the Hong Kong flu, which, by the way, killed 100,000 people in the United States.
Really?
But they still hosted Woodstock.
Yeah, that's right, huh?
Woodstock
happened right during the Hong Kong flu.
Hong Kong flu.
That's right.
And the Apollo missions.
And Vatican II.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All those things.
Yeah. During a pandemic.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Wow. And here we are. Wow.
Killed 1 million people around the world and 100,000 people in the United States. Yep.
It's such a, this is such a crazy, on the one hand, like we're all trying to be good, right? We're all trying to be good humans and help others by our behavior. On the other hand, we all don't want to find ourselves in some kind of impossible cycle of behavior, right? That you can never really reach to. It's the conclusion of which you can never fully reach. So what am I saying? Seems like a little bit behind these, everything that we're caught up in as part of like the pandemic and the measures and the regulations and the shutdowns and everything. And again, don't get me wrong here, folks, like understand that I'm a rule follower and I, you know, I'm not out there, suggesting we should necessarily just be willy-nilly about our behavior. I'm also not saying that we should maybe, you know, I'm also not saying that I agree with all the measures that have been taken in every part of the country.
Sure.
Some of the more strict ones, especially. That being said, I wonder, like philosophically, behind all of this, if there's not just what's being played upon on the fears of humans nowadays is this. Is this sense of imminence and temporality and the fact that, yes, we are going to die.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I don't know how often the average human reflects on their mortality. And mm-hmm. So when you bring along, you know, a pandemic, crisis, panic mm-hmm. situation that causes people to focus on that, well, it really does stop them dead in their tracks, pun intended. It stops them in their tracks because they are not used to focusing on the fact that, yes, they could die. And like we are fragile, you know, creatures on this earth. And we usually are just going about our business, kind of like, you know, things come and go and, you know, medical issues come and go. We don't really spend a whole lot of time reflecting on it. And we've been made to reflect on it in a very intense way. And so I can see maybe the scenario playing out right now where people are being a bit, well, caught in their fear because they're having to address the fact that they could die. But it's not just the COVID that they could die from, really. I mean, like, that's the truth of it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what everybody's focusing on right now.
Right.
Which is ridiculous in a way because it's like, well, there's a lot of things that could kill you.
Right.
I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but
well, something's going to kill me. Something's going to kill you
eventually. At some point,
100,000 people or 100 percent, 100% of the people alive on this planet at this moment will die, will one day die.
Right.
That's the reality.
And like even just like, we know, we hear about the numbers every day, like the increase of this number and that number of the cases and the deaths. And it's like, well, yeah, I get it. Like, I mean, sure, scientifically, medically, we are having to pay attention to this, but I still don't understand why we're not paying attention to everything else that kills people. If we're going to take the logical route here, mm-hmm, we can't just be concerned about COVID. We have to be concerned about other diseases, other viruses, never mind, mm-hmm, other things that we can actually control more readily, like, you know, depression and suicides and things like that. Maybe, you know, like, are we doing enough to intervene in those situations as a community? How about the drug abuse crisis that's killing people? Are we doing enough about those things that we probably could control more readily?
Well, which is getting worse under this quarantine that we are under.
Not
okay.
To mention, yeah.
So, and then mental health issues and depression and then the suicide. But the thing is, the people, you know, people are very much afraid because, number one, there's the danger of getting the disease, okay? Mm-hmm. And without look, what is the, if you get it, there's a 98% chance that you're going to get over it.
Absolutely.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, very good.
Okay? Could be that you've already had it and didn't even know it.
Right.
Okay? So that's why we need to get that test, right? To see if...
who's had it. Yeah, the antibody test.
The antibody test, right. So... But the fear is, you know, people are thinking, well, people feel trapped in, I think, and between a rock and a hard stone because, well, on one hand, you know, a person doesn't want to get the disease, but at the same time, they don't want to lose their job and they want to be able to provide for their families.
Right.
So
absolutely,
it's like you have to choose one or the other and take your chances. Right.
Right.
So
yeah,
I say, you know, we got to get back to work.
Yeah. Our fears of mortality have been played upon here.
Yeah. Right.
I'm not going to get into the long conversations or arguments about where that originates, but I am going to say that.
So quit watching the news.
Well, it's almost like you can't, I mean, but you almost can't not be exposed to it. The phenomenon, because like when you go out, there's, you know, all these measures being taken, distancing and, yeah, you know, all this stuff, personal protection equipment. And in certain scenarios, I think that's appropriate. But it does seem that what's being attacked here, mostly philosophically, spiritually, theologically, now just spiritually, maybe, and emotionally, is mankind's more sense of mortality. We're having to face that. In a way that we're being forced to face that. And I think almost like that little heartstring of the fear of death, that maybe some small percentage of which we all harbor, is being plucked.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now that it makes people crazy.
Yeah. And it's not a bad thing, though, because it's a reality and it takes us back. Right. Leads us right back to the person of Christ. Who
I think it should.
Who, you know, died on the cross to save us, so that even though we should die, we should live forever.
I think it absolutely should. And I just say all that, and I'm glad you followed that up with that comment, because I think that ties into the gospel today, too.
Yes, it do.
Okay, so now you also said there's some news about football happening.
Yeah.
Is football happening ever again?
Yeah. And in fact, they have the schedule out. That came out on Thursday, the schedule for the new season. So they're on track. They're going to, I don't know if there's going to be fans or not. But again, you know, football, no matter what, you know, it's the TV revenues that matter, I think. So the only people, well, the people, and it's sad, but the people who will suffer will be the vendors, you know.
Right.
You got the security,
true,
you got the vendors, you've got the different people, you
not
know.
Mention the people that work there.
That's what I'm saying, yeah, right? The vendors and so on. But the football players, and I don't know, you know, they're I guess they'll all have to be tested, because if somebody has it, I guess that person cannot play. Well, I do better than gas. I mean, that's a given, right? But we'll see if there's going to be fans or not. But, you know, something really cool that is coming up. Well, NASCAR is starting.
They're going to be racing for real.
I think that starts this weekend, maybe.
Really?
Yeah.
Fan free.
Yeah.
Spectator free.
Yeah. And I know UFC has gotten started, right?
Yep.
That's right.
UFC had their last weekend. Had a match this past Saturday. Mm-hmm. They've got another fight this Wednesday. So they're trying to crank him out as quickly as possible. But yeah.
No, whatever happened to Dana White's Fight Island?
Fight Island is still happening.
Really?
Yeah. But so he was able to get the first couple fights sanctioned in Jacksonville, Florida, with no crowd and none of the families, just only the coaches and fighters. Everyone from the cameraman all the way down to the headline fighter, producers, everybody, all had to get the coronavirus test. And it's kind of crazy, too, actually. One of the fighters from Brazil tested positive for COVID-19 after the weigh-ins, which is wild. But
really?
Yeah, but I mean, otherwise, you know, obviously, so he didn't fight. That particular fight was canceled. But so UFC is back.
Now,
Fight Island is still happening somewhere. They haven't disclosed where the island is.
Really? Although that was kind of like, that was something that was already happening, I think, prior to the
kinda,
corona.
Yeah, I think he had already bought an island.
Right. And kind of had this crazy idea of hosting all the events on a private island.
Let me tell you what I'm excited about. So Tiger Wood is teaming up with, I believe.
Is it Tiger Wood or Tiger Woods?
Tiger Woods.
Felt like it was
I thought
plural.
It was Tiger Wood.
I think it's Tiger King.
It's Tiger King on
Netflix.
Oh,
my gosh.
Tiger
Joe.
So he's teaming up with, hold on, let me get this right, with Peyton Manning.
Oh, yeah, that's
and
right.
And they have a team, and that team versus Phil Mickelson and Tom Brady.
Wow, the two great quarterbacks.
Two great
golfers.
Yeah, one perhaps the greatest golf. Well, someone would argue with me, but I would say, yeah, probably one of the greatest.
In fact,
top two for sure.
Oh, absolutely. Both of them.
And they're golfing?
They're golfing.
Yeah, four of them are golfing.
Yeah.
Teams of two.
I wonder if they're going to televise that. It'd be a lot of fun. I'd watch it.
Do the quarterbacks?
I'm getting sick of watching the Hogan's Heroes. And
all the
Andy
reruns.
Griffin. Yeah, I've seen them all.
All the reruns.
But I think that's going to be a really cool thing.
That'd be nice.
Oh, by the way, now speaking of Tom Brady, all right, so I saw a thing on the news the other day about his new jersey. Did I mention this last week?
You
I did?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh. This is about the same time in the show that I started getting tired before.
hey, when I'm talking about Tom Brady.
I know, yeah.
Snap to attention, pal.
I instantly start getting tired when I hear his name. So he's got a jersey for the Bucks.
Yeah. Number one seller.
Tampa Bay Bucks, and it's already hit the top of the charts.
It's the number one seller in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Go for it.
Wow. Well, that is weird. Why isn't the
and in
one.
All the New England states, you know?
Why is it number one in Green Bay?
Because it's Tom Brady, I suppose.
People in Green Bay like Tom Brady?
Well, everybody loves Tom Brady.
No.
He loves himself.
That's not true. I feel like if you went to Indianapolis, Indiana, you wouldn't find so many Tom Brady fans. They had Peyton there for so long that they grew to dislike Tom Brady.
Yeah. You know Tom Brady's wife makes more money than he does?
Giselle?
Yeah.
The model?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I ought to become a model. What? It's not funny. I'm being serious.
Yeah. I bet you are.
Oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Hey, so...
What?
We've been talking about the way the press... has in these national press briefings that have been taking place, we've been noting how, there could be seen in their activity something of, how do you say, an analogy, maybe a metaphor? I think it's more of an analogy.
Mm-hmm.
It's an analogy, not a metaphor.
An analogy of, you know, it is obvious. I mean, not to play politics here.
Yeah, because we're not political.
That's right. But it is obvious that that a number of reporters, and I don't think if you ask them personally, they would deny this, are playing a little bit of gotcha game in their press reporting with the president
and some of his
advisors and stuff. And he,
today,
there was one that was throwing down some hard gotcha. And
he walked out
he ultimately walked out of the situation. But it got me thinking because we're seeing this, you know, on video and it's, you know, happening in our time. It really got me thinking about what those interchanges might have been like between Jesus and the scribes and Pharisees that you hear about right in the scriptures. Now, I am definitely not
equating
any human man
to Jesus.
President, anybody. I'm not equating anybody to Jesus. But if you're just looking at the roles, right, just at the roles, you've got this person of attention. He's in the center of attention here, being, you know, being queried by these gotcha reporters. It kind of makes me think that that might have been very similar to some of the stuff that Jesus was dealing with. And so when we read those parts of Scripture, it might help to at least understand the dynamic of those interchanges, right? Especially when Jesus out of the, what seems like sometimes out of the blue, Jesus, you know, fires back something like, "You brood of vipers." And you're like, whoa, what was that all about?
Right.
Well, no doubt it must have been something similar to what we're seeing going on between the president and these reporters, you know, who are obviously opposite his side of things and throwing down the gotcha. Very curious.
Well, you know, there are just many people who just really don't like the media, be it it's the political media or the sports media. I mean, look how Bill Belichick deals with the media.
Yeah.
He doesn't even hardly talk to them.
That's true.
You know, and then he gets a reputation of being, you know, a curmudgeon. And no, he just doesn't like the media, you know.
Right.
The former basketball coach of Indiana, okay.
Bobby Knight.
He didn't like him either.
No, he did not.
No. So.
Well, it's very curious. I wonder, it hasn't always been like that, right? I mean, we're part of the media, aren't we? Sort of. We're in communications.
Yeah, we do.
What do you suppose, has it always been that way, do you think? Just not as an...
I think it's more accessible than it ever has been before.
Yeah.
Where three dudes can spring up an idea, buy the equipment, and then produce a podcast for five listeners.
Right.
But you know what I mean? I think it's far more accessible.
We used to have 12. Now social. You've reduced it to five.
Five. You know, but yeah, I think it's far more accessible now. You know, with, I think, blogs, vlogs, all that kind of stuff, you know, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
There's not a standard so much anymore because it's become so accessible.
Yeah.
I don't.
What I think.
When I was growing up, let me ask you guys if it was similar with you or your parents. Like when I was growing up, I could have sworn like my dad especially would watch the evening news and there wasn't much complaint about the reporting or about the
I'll
authenticity
tell you why.
Of that reporting. It was just he would just comment on the news story.
No, because Walter Cronkite, okay, and Harry Reasoner and these guys
those
way
are the
back
ones.
When
those were the
they
ones.
Just reported the news as it was. They didn't throw in their opinion.
Yeah.
They didn't question anything. Here's the story. Okay.
Yep.
And that's, you know, and then Cronkite would say at the end of the telecast, right, that's the way it is. You know, he would always end his telecast by saying, that's the way it is.
Yeah.
Sunday, November 3rd, 1962 or whatever, right? So, but it was just the news. It was the straight news. And now we don't get that.
And letting people form their own opinions
and
nowadays.
I'll tell you something, it's slanted and very biased.
Yeah, absolutely.
It is.
Clearly.
Horribly so.
And it seems like, if anything, politics has affected that the most. Because people have understood that media can be used just as much as propaganda as it can be for anything else.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah, so, you know, they're just beating the guy up. And, So when I saw that today, I saw the replay of him walking out. And, it matters not if I like him or not. When he did that, I said, good for you.
Yeah.
Good
I
for
think
you.
So.
Yeah. You know, he doesn't have to take that from them. There's a woman in New Mexico. I think she's 100 and something years old. Back in 1918, had the...
she had the flu.
The Spanish flu. Beat it. Now she has coronavirus.
Oh, boy. How's she doing?
I bet she beats it.
I would hope so.
Yeah.
She's a little older now than she was when she was...
Well, there's
when she had the flu in 1918.
There was a guy somewhere who was 104 who had it, coronavirus, and beat it.
He was a World War II vet.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I did
hear about that.
Now, the thing about this, you know, if you get a test and you test negative, then you got to be careful. So, because you might think, oh, I'm negative. And then, you know what I'm saying? Then you let your guard down.
Yeah.
Don't let that happen. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, I think I know what you're saying, bro.
I think I get what you're saying there, dude.
You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Hey.
What?
Shout out to Mark Montano.
Yeah.
Zach Gard.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we had a cigar.
They joined you for a smoke.
Yeah, sorry.
That's cool.
I don't think Will got invited.
Guess who didn't get the invite?
Well, you know what happened?
You forgot about me. That's what happened.
I thought I told Tony, give Will a call. And
that's cool. It's all good. I was an afterthought. That's fine.
She lives so far away.
It's okay.
So are you admitting, Tony, that you failed to call him? Or didn't because he lives so far away?
I was not the organizer of said socially distanced smoke circle that took place.
Okay.
Two pipes and two cigars.
My apologies. Would you have come for the smoke?
I don't know.
Guess we'll never
know. I'm not going to answer that question.
I guess we'll
never know. It's irrelevant now after the fact.
Yeah, well, okay.
Because I didn't even get an invite.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. All right.
Well, that was nice, though. We pulled it off. You've been talking about doing it, and we pulled it off.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's good to do that. You know, it keeps your sanity. You got to get together with the guys and light up and talk theology and stuff, and it helps you keep your sanity.
I think that's right.
Rather than sit in a room and
during a pandemic or not. Yeah.
Right.
But most especially in times like this, I think that's important. It's essential, I think. I'd say it's essential.
I think what happened with the other day. With
I wouldn't
the smoke,
know.
Well, no,
okay.
You wouldn't know.
I'll just step away. I wouldn't know.
If I recall.
You take a 5-minute break, Will.
Well, I think the other guy said, William, he's going to bring that dog. And I said, yeah, probably. And they said, no, thanks.
Invite him.
Yeah.
You didn't teach that dog
That's
to
what
smoke
it was.
Cigars.
You guys definitely didn't forget about me. It was because of the dog.
Yeah, Red.
Yeah, well, you know.
Poor Red.
We're not dog owners.
Neither am I.
You will be very soon, in another couple of weeks, when you give up on trying to find a home for the thing. You will be a dog owner. Speaking of cigars,
not invite me to all the hangouts in the future too.
What's that?
If you have a dog, we can't.
You don't have to invite me to anything.
That's right. We just X him off our list.
Are you feeling sorry for yourself?
Maybe I won't. Maybe this is too far too. That's it.
Okay, now speaking of cigars,
yes.
Do you have anything new to report?
Well,
oh, wait, hold on, music time. Here's our intro.
You like to smoke cigars. You wish your girlfriend would.
Thank you.
I picked up a few smokes that I've never had before, and I've only gotten through one of them. It's the Wasabi. Wasabi by Espinosa.
Never heard of it.
And it's green, like wasabi, because it's a candela, meaning that it's an under-ripened tobacco leaf, basically, that they wrap the rest of the tobacco. The rest of the tobacco is pretty aged and so forth, but then the outside wrapper is much less aged, and it has a green color to it. It has much more of a flavor of, like, grass or hay. It was interesting. It wasn't my favorite. I've had a candela before that I liked better. I can't remember who made it, to be honest.
Oscar Valladares. That was the Oscar. The Leaf by Oscar.
Was it?
Is that candela that we had in Denver?
Was that a candela?
Uh-huh.
Green. It was green?
Yeah.
Really? I don't remember that one. I mean, I remember that one, but I didn't remember it was a candela. Yeah, I did like that one. That was a good smoke.
Oh, no. Sorry. It was wrapped in a
tobacco leaf.
Yeah, you're right.
But they can't. Yeah, there's. I think
the
Camacho.
Was the Arturo Fuente.
Arturo Fuente, I think, is makes a candela that I like. And then also does Camacho. But this one was Wasabi by Espinosa. Would I recommend it? 50%. You might have a palate that enjoys it. I would probably not buy it again. I'd probably look for one of the ones that I've enjoyed better.
Yeah, like the Milano V or...
Candelas.
I get what you're saying. Okay.
But I'm looking forward to some of these other ones that I'm going to smoke this in the very near future. An Avo. Is it Avo, Avo, or Avo?
Avo.
Avo. That's what I've always said.
Yeah, okay.
Got an Avo in the pipeline and a couple others that I don't even recognize the brand.
Okay. Yeah. Well, smoke them and we'll review
find
them.
Out. Yeah.
Where did you say it was from?
Which one?
The
Wasabi?
Wasabi, yeah.
The candela? Espinosa.
I'm sorry?
Espinosa.
It's from Espinosa?
Is the name of the brand that makes the Wasabi label.
What's the origin of the
Right. I didn't pay attention to all the tobacco. Sorry.
Could you use your microphone, please?
Yeah, I don't know.
His Thank dog.
It's a microphone.
Poor dog has got Will all tied up over here in the corner. Yeah. He's very active tonight, per normal. Sometimes Red just relaxes and chills out, and sometimes he wants to be a puppy.
Yeah, he's a puppy.
Know? Yeah, what are you going to do?
Doing his job.
It's preparing Will very well for fatherhood,
there
actual fatherhood, right. you know, when he's got 10 little kids running around and, you know.
Yep.
Are we done with this weird conversation? Can I do a review?
Yeah, do your review.
So I smoked on Mother's Day, actually, this past Sunday. I smoked my last Oscar Vallardes cigar that was, of course, sent to me from a good friend of mine, David Floto, from down in Honduras.
Hoot.
And it was the limited edition. Oh, and I forget the name of the limited edition cigars, but I've reviewed them before on the podcast, the other ones I smoked, and man, that last smoke was fantastic.
Really?
Phenomenal burn. It lasted me, close to 2 hours. So it was kind of a Churchill style to it, so it was thinner and longer. I think a Churchill, we said, was like closer to 9 inches, right?
Yep.
So it was shorter than nine, but yeah, man, that thing was delicious. It
cool.
was so good. Yeah.
That's awesome.
It was awesome. It was, you know, and I think for myself, that's going to be one of my staple brands that I'll look for. You know, we talked about the Oscar Leaf just 2 minutes ago. Mm-hmm. That's done by Oscar Vallardes as well.
Okay.
So it's a brand that I think I'm going to kind of look for in the future and keep my ears perked for. But I just got in today. Super exciting news. My cigar bid.
The rest of the order
shipment.
Came in.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
But of course, it rained all day today. My patio doesn't have an umbrella or an awning, so I couldn't dig into it today.
Are you planning to get awning?
I can't. I'm in a condo.
Oh, you can't?
I'm in an association, yeah. Can't just decide to build onto the exterior of the building.
Because that would be cool if you could get like a portable one that doesn't attach to anything or a couple big umbrellas.
I could put umbrellas, yeah. But,
that'd be awesome.
But I can't, do like a physical alteration of the building. But
which you'd probably need to do in order to stay out of the rain. But as far as staying out of the sun, you've kind of got a little umbrella thing that you use.
I have one. Yeah, I have like a little canopy, which is nice. But it's so weird. My one of my balconies faces north, and the other one faces west. And so the northern balcony, in the wintertime, no sun at all. Then in the summertime, full sun.
Yeah.
So I was out there the other day having a cigar, and man, I just roasted at 3 p.m. Absolutely roasted. So
starting to get warm.
Yeah. So
starting to get warm out there. Well, I'm happy that you got the rest of your cigar bid. That's pretty awesome. And what a great cigar recommendation.
I'll have more reviews for you guys next week.
Okay. That'll be great. I have nothing.
Other than the norm.
Yeah. The norm. I've just been smoking.
Other than the usual.
Sorry, but that's what I bought. So, and I've reviewed those, you know, till I'm blue in the face. Speaking of being warm, you know, so I'm here in Outside Confessions, and I wear the black cassock outside, right? So, you know, 2 weeks ago, it was fine. Now, like this Saturday, man, I'm cooking.
It's been heating up.
I am cooking.
We're getting our way. Yeah, we're making our way to summer real fast.
Yep. And actually, rain today here.
Did it?
First time in a long time.
Yep. Sprinkles.
Yeah, it did.
Sprinkles where I live.
We had a pretty good thunderstorm. Apparently, there were some fires that got started in the Bosque by lightning strikes.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, isn't that wild?
Yeah. Where in the Bosque?
Down by Rio Bravo.
Okay.
Crazy.
Because I like to go walking down in the Bosque.
Well, don't go down near Rio Bravo. You get struck by lightning.
No, but it's a problem. You know, if you walk around the Bosque, do you see all the dead wood? I mean, they don't clean it out. It's a mess.
Yeah.
There's just dead wood everywhere. Let people come in and clean it out. But the environmentalists say, oh, you can't do that. Let the people come in. It's good firewood. Let them clean it out and clean up the problem. Okay? Because right now there's just fuel all along that river.
Right.
You know? So let's clean it out and clean it up.
There you go. Cleanitup.com.
There you go.
Coveritup.com.
There you go.
There you go, man.
Hey, so that's
so
the
there
cigar
was a,
review.
There was a, there was a, hey, we saw this lady the other day in the parking lot, and, you know, we were last week talking about your new job, Cover It Up. Did you see that woman?
Yeah.
I mean, from head to toe. This woman was wearing like
this
a
was
plastic
at these,
bag.
We were at the socially distanced smoke that Will wasn't invited to.
Yeah. Tell me more about this thing I wasn't invited to.
We noticed.
It was fun.
It did appear that the woman walking, she was just going for a walk, and she had on a mask, but then she also had on a head covering. Like, really, the only thing you could see were her eyes, and it wasn't like a burk or anything, but it did kind of look like a space helmet. Mm-hmm. I thought for sure she was a customer of Will's business.
Yeah, she probably was. She probably bought online.
Yeah, the only thing I did, I couldn't tell whether she was, whether she had the detachable tutu that goes with it, the COVID doo-doo.
Well, because she had, yeah, she had something around her waist. Did you see that?
Oh, and she did, didn't she?
Yeah.
I heard something tied around.
And it was like the same color as her head cover.
Yeah, it could have been the detachable tutu.
Well, Tony and I
are
working on a collaboration. That's a murder hornet. Themed PPE, so it's like, right, and dressed like a murder hornet.
That's right. You can actually stab people with it.
Yeah. Now, I don't know. Did we bring this up earlier about the praying mantis?
Yes, yes, we did.
We did. We talked about that.
How old are
you? No, we talked. We didn't.
Yeah, we definitely talked about the praying mantis. You talked about how you could buy eggs and everything from.
Yeah, we totally talked about the praying mantis.
I can't remember that.
Hey, that reminds me. Peyton Manning's jersey. I don't know. Did you, or Tom Brady's jersey? Did you see that thing?
This portion of tonight's broadcast.
No, I know.
Broadcast,
we, I know.
Brought to you by the
Alzheimer's Association. I know. We talked about the bee, the wasp. I don't know.
We just give up, guys.
I don't know if we talked about the praying mantis or not.
Have we begun the podcast
because
yet? Is
that
it started?
Could have been. No, that conversation could have been pre-podcast. I'm just wondering.
It's true. Yeah, it is a little hard to keep track of these. Well, this lends to what we talked about last week about how this whole thing has our brains just working a little bit crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
This whole thing has got us coming and we don't know whether we're coming or going.
Yeah, we forget people, forget things.
That's right. Yeah. I feel like that might have been more intentional.
I feel like it was too.
Hey. Yeah.
Is it time to do the gospel?
It is.
All right.
Do you have it?
I think I have it right here. I have it in the book. I'm very excited for this.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, the whole online mass thing just isn't happening. I don't know.
It's not working for you, huh?
It's not working for me. The classroom thing, you know, with the
Zoom.
That just doesn't work, man. Oh, and by the way, Zoom gives a lot of money to Planned Parenthood, just FYI.
That's what I heard. Who was it? Yeah. Gallup. Or no, Grant. Who's the guy? Who's
Gary
the wall?
Seton?
Wall.
Bishop Wall, right.
Yeah.
Bishop Wall. And was it somebody else that is boycotting, or was it just Wall? Wall is boycotting Zoom, right?
Could be like Strickland or somebody.
Strickland might be boycotting
maybe
Zoom as well because of their... And then I also heard like there's also some controversy about these vaccines that they're talking about doing, being researching them and using embryonic stem cells, which is a no-no.
Yeah.
Yeah, stuff to pay attention to.
Yep.
So what are you saying? You can only do what the bishop allows you to do, right? So it's going to be virtual until what?
We're doing it. We're doing it. I'm just saying it's not, you know, we need people need to be with each other and receiving the Eucharist, not just watching on TV, but the whole classroom thing, like with CCD and other stuff. It's just, you know what? It doesn't cut it.
Is that what you guys are doing for religious ed?
Well, we were doing it until now the classes are over.
Classes are finished for the year.
But, you know, we're thinking, okay, if this thing comes rolling back in say, September, October, we got to be ready for it in case that happens.
Yeah, I think maybe finding some more creative solutions, at least in the church, would be helpful.
Yeah, but it's just, I don't know.
It's a challenge. It's funny you say that. So Wednesday is Theology on Tap here in Rio Rancho. And
that's
so
right.
I'm helping Father Trambly, who's been on the podcast before.
He has.
Live stream
Father
it
Trambly
on Wednesday. So if you're around, if you can feel free to watch that. I think it's at 7 o'clock p.m. Mountain Standard Time. So you can hop on to Rio Rancho Theology on Tap Facebook page, and then we should have it going live about 7 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully it'll go well.
Let me ask you, beer drinker. When they open the pubs up again, are you going to be there?
Yeah.
Would you stand?
Let me ask
would
you,
you stand?
No, let me ask you, golf player. If they open up the golf courses, would you go be there?
Well, I've already been playing golf.
Okay, so.
No, but when you're playing golf, you're never close to anyone. I mean, think
really?
About it. No.
Well, you're close to your buddies.
No,
you're
no,
not,
but I mean, look, you hit the
players.
No, but you can easily stand off 15 feet, and then one guy hits left, the other guy hits the middle.
Well,
another guy's.
Did you guys walk to each of the holes the last time?
No, but you have your own cart.
Oh, you guys were at each of your own carts?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have your own cart. And if not, you can walk. You can walk. I've walked before. I love to walk. Okay? But if you go to a pub and you're going to mosey up to the bar and stand shoulder to shoulder with, 25 other people? How's that going to work?
Well, they said that bars will open at a certain percentage of their capacity. So it's like 25% or 50% or whatever. Mm-hmm. So.
And they'll have regulations about where you can sit.
So my question is, that's post podcast conversation.
Yeah. Maybe Tony and I will go check it out and not invite you.
No, that's fine with me. No, but I mean, it's worrisome. I'll say this, but how are these businesses going to survive with those kind of numbers?
Right. Well, I mean, that's what we mentioned it last week. People are raising the question whether the cure is worse than the crisis, right. Whether the cure is worse than the disease. Mm-hmm. And that's something that has to be paid attention to, because we're human beings. We're multifaceted creatures, right? Like it's not just medical health that we have to worry about. We have to worry about emotional health and spiritual health and, you know, just well-being in general, right? Not to mention, like, we have to be practically minded. We have, you know, heads of households have to make sure that the household mm-hmm. can afford to eat and do all these other things. I mean, mm-hmm. it's important. All that stuff is part of the big picture. And I don't think it has to be put into the current dichotomy right now of this versus that. It can be a both and. Mm-hmm. Let's worry about this and let's worry about that. Right? It doesn't have to be. And that's everything comes, you know, everybody's doing this whole thing. Like with any topic, it's always, well, it's either this or that. You know, you have to choose one. I choose it all. I say we have to be concerned about all this at the same time. It's more complicated, it's harder, but I think we got to do it.
There was an interesting article I read about that too, where it was like everything coming out has to be planted in one political camp or the other. You know, it's like, oh, either you support reopening and then, you know, you're on the far right, or you want closure and you're on the far left. Right. And it's like, no, the reality is that you're right. We're much more mixed and diverse than that.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
It really kind of brings down the intellectual discussion.
As Americans and as citizens of this planet, right? We went through a pandemic in 1918, okay? The Great Depression, okay, in this country. Okay, mm-hmm. You got Civil War, you had the 1918 pandemic, you had First World War, Second World War, all these upheavals, and we've managed and we've adapted and we've adopted.
That's
and,
right.
And you know what? We've survived. And you know what else is when 9/11 happened, I remember thinking, man, the world is going to change forever. And it did. Okay. As far like you go to the airport with security.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And it was at first it was like, you got to be kidding. It was so hard. But, you know, we've been doing it now since, you know, 9/11. And now it's how it is. Right?
Yeah, it's true.
It's just how it is.
It is how it is.
Yeah.
But at first it was like shocking. You're like, what? You know, and hard, and you got to wait in line and go through this machine. And man, we never did that before. It used to take, you know, drive right up and wait for your person to come out, you know, at the airport or,
yep.
you know, and used to walk in and sit at the gate with them and wave goodbye to them as the plane departed and stuff. You know, it's crazy.
Or even more recently, right? Like with the mass shootings and bombings mm-hmm. and stuff like that. You can't go to a sporting event without going through, like, you know, x-ray machines and all that stuff now. So
you know what? We'll adapt, and it'll just become, you know, it'll just become how it is, right? So, and, you know, we should be washing our hands every 5 minutes. Why not?
Mm-hmm.
You know? Okay, you have the gospel?
I've got it right here, man. Are you ready for it?
Sure.
All right, let's do it.
Yeah.
This is the fifth Sunday of Easter.
Mm-hmm. Cycle A.
Cycle A.
Cycle A. We're in Cycle A.
Thank you for reminding me.
Yeah.
Great reading, by the way, from Acts. I like the fact that the first readings are plowing their way through the book of Acts. That's really nice.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of good information. It's such a fun book, and it just gives you a real nice glimpse of the early church. Love that. And then, of course, these great epistles from other people, like Peter, mm-hmm. for instance, this week,
mm-hmm.
not just Paul, like mm-hmm. a lot of times.
Are you stalling as you look for the reading? Is this what's happening?
You know, kind of considering the context of what this gospel is placed in, because, you know, that's the thing. Like these readings have been very intentionally, at least attempted to be placed together for reasons of connectivity. Well, okay. Here we go. John chapter 14, verse 1 through 12. Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled.
Yeah.
You have faith in God. Have faith also in me. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. If there were not, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back again and take you to myself, so that where I am, you also may be. Where I am going, you know the way." Thomas said to him, "Master, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, then you will also know my Father. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Master, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you for so long a time, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own. The Father who dwells in me is doing his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe because of the works themselves. Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I do, and will do greater ones than these, because I am going to the Father." Thus are the words of the Holy Gospel.
Amen.
Yeah.
This is the divinity gospel, man.
Yeah?
Yeah? Explain.
Well, so, for me, right, throughout this entire gospel, it's just Jesus hammering home that he and the Father are one over and over and over again. And I don't know, not to downplay Thomas or question his faith to question his faith. But it's like, since Thomas is like, "Okay, Jesus, we get that you're great and everything, but just show us the Father and we'll be fine." And so I was thinking throughout this gospel, as Tony, you were reading it, was like, what would be a good analogy for that? And it's almost like if I parked a Lamborghini in front of you and you're like, "Okay, that's great. But show me a Lamborghini." So the Lamborghini's right here in front of your face. It's right here in front of you. No, that's a nice car, but show me a Lamborghini. And just this point that Jesus is very gently, and I love the way our Lord is doing this, because he's trying to break this open for the apostles, trying to break open this whole idea that he and the Father are the same. You've seen me, so therefore you've seen the Father. Mm-hmm. So I just really see this as another super strong testament to the divinity of Christ, and also to kind of prepare them for his coming ascension. Right, so his ascension wouldn't be so shocking to them when he goes
right.
to the
Father.
Right,
yeah, another luminous mystery, if you will.
Yeah.
Right? The Lord revealing his divinity to his disciples by, again, saying to them, the Father and I are one, basically, right?
Right.
He is in me, I am in him, so we are one.
That's right.
And the Father is at work, and he's doing his works through me.
Right.
That's what he's saying.
Well, and notice that this all takes place, of course. John chapter 14 takes place at the Last Supper. This is Jesus' last moment when he'll be with his apostles in an earthly way, until he goes through his passion, right? And so these are parting words in a way. Of course, he comes back in 3 days, yeah. So not exactly the most parting of words, but they are the words that are probably planted at the right time, the right place for a reason, right? So he's about ready to go through his passion. This is going to get very confusing for them in a very short period of time. And so it's important that he's putting all this, into their hearts right now.
Well, how you say it very soon, that would be that night.
That very night. It all kicks off that night when he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane with Peter, James, and John. But alas, for all 12 of them, right? And of course, Judas leaves early from the dinner. And I think that happens after this moment. I don't remember. I'd have to look it up and see it in context. But alas, it's the next three chapters, 14, 15, 16, and I think even 17, right? He's making this long monologue about his relationship to the Father. And like Will just said, it's like a theophany of sorts where he's revealing to them very directly, in his words anyway, that he is divine. He is the Messiah. He is God. Now, of course, he himself points back to the things he taught, the things he did, right?
Mm-hmm. His works.
He points back to his works, right? And it's almost like, I mean, you've been with me this long. You've seen all the miracles,
right?
And yet you're still unbelieving. Now, this would have been, you know, something of a real challenge, of course, to those men right in front of him at that moment. But what a challenge it is to any of us, too, right? Like, imagine now, I mean, over the course of history, we have the testimony of the apostles. We have the testimony of the fathers of the church. We have the testimony of, you know, the people who have, you know, to whom the faith has been handed down in the modern day. We have the testimony of not only Jesus's divine activity, but also, I mean, in the scriptures, all the activity divine comes from Jesus, but we even have his divine activity and say, like, all the miracles that have taken place over the course of human history, people getting healed, Eucharistic miracles, bilocations, you know, all these like supernatural things. And what one of us doesn't still struggle to believe?
Yeah.
It's kind of absurd.
Especially in a time like this.
Right. It's kind of absurd if you think about it. But at the same time, it's a very real experience. I know it personally. Here I am with the, you know, with all of the benefit of all the proof. And still, you know, I struggle to say, I believe 1,000%. I'm perfect. I'm saint. Never doubt, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, right. And we have to realize that, you know, when we do have doubts, it's, you know, the evil one is very much at work, too. Right. So especially when we're in a moment of life when things aren't going the way that we plan. And the devil knows this and he uses that against the person. But even that should be a cause for rejoicing, because look, if you didn't have faith to begin with, why would the evil one mess with you? You know, why would he waste his time with you? So if you're a believer and you're having these doubts and the evil one is making them worse, okay, that's a good sign that your faith is what it should be. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, the evil one just would leave you alone, right?
Yeah, because he's already got you, right?
That's right. And you know what? Doubt is not always, you say, oh, I'm having these doubts. Okay, well, you know what? Doubt does a couple of things. It makes you dig your heels in faith so that you become stronger in faith. But also, if you have questions, it causes you to go out and search for answers.
Right.
Right? So that you're constantly searching. Mm-hmm. Right? And if you're a person who, you know, you just don't settle for, okay, I'm just not getting it. I just don't believe it. I'm not feeling it. You can't do that. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's like, okay, if I'm having these doubts, if I'm not believing this or getting this, there's got to be a reason why. And I have to now go out in search of the answer.
Absolutely.
Right.
And speaking of answers, I just wanted to circle back real quick on that whole idea of like the, Jesus talking about how he's God here and how him and the Father united. And I think this is a really good, just something to keep maybe in your back pocket for any of our listeners, you know, because I know I've gotten this a million times, but people come up, maybe they're of a different faith and say, hey, how do you know that Jesus is God? Jesus never says that he was God. I mean, which is true. Jesus never actually says, I am God. But what he says right here in this gospel, right? And I misspoke earlier. I said Thomas, but I meant to say Philip. So when Philip's talking to him, he says, Master, show us the Father and that will be enough for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you for so long a time and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. So Jesus doesn't say here, have I been with you for so long a time that you still do not know him? He says me. Right. He says me when Philip is talking about the Father. And so I think, again, it's just this really, it demonstrates here the intimate union between Jesus and the Father. And show that they are truly one, right? This is a Trinitarian testament to his divinity.
Exactly, yeah. And, you know, it's a good point that he didn't say him, you know.
Well, and that's what—that's what all the prophets throughout Jewish history had said. It was him. I'm here to show you him. I'm here to show you the Father. But Jesus says, "Me,
me." And then elsewhere, you know, I am.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I am. Okay. Yeah. So Jesus equated himself with the God who appeared to Moses on the mountain.
Yeah.
Right. So now, listen. So I love. I, by the way, love how this starts. You know, Jesus saying. And by the way, if you think Sean Hannity was the first to say this at the beginning of his program, you're wrong. It is Jesus saying, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." Okay, you have faith in God. Have faith in me.
Hmm.
Okay. So if you have faith in God, have faith in me. And I love it because he's saying, and by the way, this is what's going to happen right after this. He's going to go out and suffer his passion. The faith of those guys is going to be flipped upside down.
Mm. Yeah.
The faith of those guys, those 12 guys, well, the 11, okay, is going to be flipped. Well, all right, the 12, we'll add Judas, is going to be flipped. Well, it was flipped upside down for Judas, but he, you know, okay, we all know what happened to him, but okay, so let's just focus on the other 11. Their faith was going to be flipped upside down, and it wasn't going to be, hey, this isn't according to our plan.
Right.
Okay? So Jesus was preparing them, and he's saying, do not let your hearts be troubled. Okay, you have faith in God, have faith in me, and where I am going to prepare a place for you in my Father's house, and I will come back and take you with me. Okay? And the Lord here, Jesus mentions the work of God. Okay, his Father. He mentions the work of his Father, that the Father is at work in the moment, okay, in him. Which, by the way, leads me to say this, when we're, you know, like this, you know, this pandemic that we're suffering through, and it could make a person start questioning his or her faith.
Yeah.
Okay, where is God? Why is he so quiet? Why are we not getting any signs? You know? Mm-hmm. Why are not... You know, why is this thing not getting better? We're all praying. Why does it seem to be getting worse? Okay. Well, we have to put our faith in Jesus and know that the Father, okay, is God doing? Yeah, God's doing some of his finest work at this very moment. Okay. Mm. And we have to be very patient as we wait for the answer to come, and it will.
Right.
We just have to be very patient. God is, it's not that God said, oh, too bad for you. And, you know, God is doing something through this, something very big, I believe, something huge through this pandemic. Okay. And what's going on politically even, and in the world, I think the Lord is doing something, perhaps a purification or something. I don't know, but something big.
Mm-hmm. That's curious that you say that. I've heard people say that not just because of the pandemic, but also because of some of the trials of the church in the current day and age. There's a lot of suffering in the church, you know, on a number of different levels. Some have suggested that this is like a passion.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That we've entered into something of the passion of the body of Christ, the passion of the church, or at least one of them. I mean, I'm sure the church has gone through many passions. But, yeah. I mean, suffice it to say, this is all very much... Like, right. I mean, it's kind of ironic that we're reading John chapter 14. And on that night after this, after he completes, you know, the next few chapters of what's recorded in John, then they go out into, they finish the meal and they go out into the Garden of Gethsemane. Well, I mean, like in a very similar way, Father, you're right. Like, here we are, man. Like, this is, these are words that are relevant to us right now in the you know, existential crisis that we're in.
Yeah.
As we are going out into the Garden of Gethsemane, as we are encountering our, you know, cross laid in Good Friday, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember Doug Mitchell, Father Doug Mitchell.
Yeah.
Jimmy. Remember Jimmy Lyle? His
I remember Jimmy Lyle. He's been on the show a couple times.
Yeah.
We got to get him
well,
back.
At least
I like
once.
Him. He's a good dude.
Well, he's very smart.
Yeah.
But Doug Mitchell, who is his father-in-law.
Right.
And you're saying, what father? What?
Well, how does that work?
Well, Doug Mitchell was married. His wife passed away from cancer many years ago.
God rest her soul.
He became a priest.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember in conversation with him once, and he said, look, as Jesus had to suffer his passion and crucifixion, so too will the church.
Right.
And has been.
Yep.
And has been from the beginning. What did Jesus say? He said, if the world hates me, it's going to hate you.
Right.
Right. And so the church will suffer her crucifixion, but only to be brought back to life in a glorious resurrection.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Well, and I'm glad you guys mentioned that, because in the same way that Jesus prepared, was in this scripture specifically preparing his disciples for his departure, he's preparing the church throughout generations for his departures, right? Mm. So not only here on the scandal of the cross, but I was thinking about like what would that kind of equate to in the modern day, or when do people cry out, you know, maybe as they once cried out on Calvary? And I think of like in tragedy, right? And even during this pandemic, I remember for me particularly, I was thinking about, when these elderly people, who lived through all these crazy things are now having to die alone without the last rites, mm-hmm. and just how that affected me so profoundly. And for a moment there, it's really, you get the temptation to sit back and say, where is God in this? Mm-hmm. And then in that moment, when you ask that question, where is God in this pandemic? Where is God in the natural disasters? Where is God in the mass shootings? Whatever it may be, right? Jesus speaks to us from this gospel and says, do not let your hearts be troubled. I am with you always, and I will be with you. And at this moment too will pass, right? Is he speaking the same message from 2,000 years ago to us during this present crisis and for whatever crises we might experience throughout our life, right?
Yeah, and Jesus said these words, do not let your hearts be troubled, knowing, he knew, right, that the faith of his disciples would be flipped over. And then, this is the same Jesus, by the way, who after his resurrection, he said to Peter, he described Peter to Peter, what kind, he said, when you were young, Peter, you used to dress, yourself, but when you are older, someone else will dress you and lead you away to a place you do not want to be, signifying what kind of death that Peter would die, right? And then there's the story, before pre-passion, the mom of the two boys, the sons of Zebedee, the mom says, make sure, Jesus, that my boys are on your right and your left, in your kingdom, right? And he says, that's not for me to decide. And if your boys can only drink the cup that I must drink from, okay, right? And they did. And it was the cup of the passion, the cup of martyrdom.
Right.
Okay, so Jesus, now he said these words knowing that they would experience this, okay? So, he said, do not let your hearts be troubled. In life you're going to find difficulties and tragedy and persecution and even martyrdom. It's like Our Lady when she appeared to Saint Bernadette, right? Bernadette cried out to her in her and Bernadette had tuberculosis, and Our Lady said, Bernadette, I cannot promise you happiness in this life, but in the next life, the children of Fatima, that was 2 years before the Spanish flu pandemic. And Our Lady predicted or told the two youngest children that they would be taken home to heaven very soon. Hmm. 2 years later, they both died from that Spanish pandemic.
Wow.
So Our Lady said these words knowing, okay, that there would be this pandemic. Okay, so it goes back to, look, we got to keep our eyes fixed, as St. Paul said, on the goal that lays ahead of us, which is the resurrection.
Yeah.
Okay? Because we were not meant for eternity on this planet.
Right.
God created us for eternity with him in his heaven.
Right.
So this is very temporary.
And if there was no struggle, if there was no goals, then it's like, what's the point of everything, right? Like, I had a deeper thought to that, but it just slipped out of my mind.
Well, yeah. It's that dog, I'm telling you.
Yep.
It's the distraction of that dog, but that's okay. We love the dog. We love Red, don't we? We love him. We think you should keep him. Yeah.
I don't know how to follow your train of thought on the dog.
Well, I'm not sure how that's going to work out, but
I just think, that you're in love with the dog and he loves you, so you should just become the owner.
No.
Okay, that's all I'm saying. But so look, it's look, we got to keep our eyes like focused on the person of Christ, and we're going to leave this place. There's no way around it, okay? But that's the point of our faith, is Jesus died on the cross to give us, to open up his heaven.
I think so. I mean, like, it's a dead end road, right? To put all your eggs in the basket of earth,
right?
To invest everything you have is earthly, then you're going to be shortchanging yourself for eternity.
But we act as if, and many people probably believe, that this life is the end-all, be-all of our existence.
What a scary, scary thought. Right?
Well, when it goes back to what I was saying at the very, I was fumbling my way through at the beginning of the podcast, I guess that in a nutshell is the phenomenon I was referring to.
Mm-hmm.
That so many people think that this earth is all there is. So they are quite fearful of anything that might take them away from this.
But to me, that's a most dreadful existence. If you believe that, knowing that you're going to breathe your last one day, and then what is there to look forward to after that? Nothing?
Nothingness.
I'm guessing nothing for them. I mean, like in their minds.
Right. So for us, you know, we go by what St. Paul said. You know, we're not citizens of this place or this earth
right.
or this life.
That's right.
We're merely passing through on our way to something much greater. Mm-hmm. That's the reality.
True.
Right. Yeah. So do not let your hearts be troubled, because there's a whole world and a whole existence waiting for us on the other side of this life.
Just like Jesus says, you have faith in God, have faith also in me. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling mm-hmm. places. If there were not, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, are we just calling him a liar? You know? So right. he goes, he prepares a place for each one of us as we put our faith in him.
Right.
And that's his commitment to us, you know, and he's not committing like flippantly. I mean, if he's God mm-hmm. and he's committing to us, he will do what he says. And that's where mm-hmm. we can maybe have a point of reflection in our struggles with faith and belief, is that, you know, like if we really believe that he's God, he's made the commitments and the promises. He doesn't lie and he doesn't go back on his word. I mean, those are solid.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is, do we believe he's God? If he's God, then everything he says will come true.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And so we do not let our hearts be troubled.
Yeah.
But we just go day by day. And, you know, I keep getting in prayer as I pray is like, look, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself.
Mm.
You know, tomorrow's issue will be enough for tomorrow. Just today, my grace is sufficient. So just get through the end of the day.
Mm.
You know?
It's good advice. I like that.
Because, you know, when you think about it, okay, if I, no matter what, if it's the pandemic or if it's some other thing, a cancer or whatever, you know what? I just, it's all very temporary.
Yeah.
Okay. And I have an issue. I have eternity to resolve it. Okay. So whatever. I mean, it's not something I have to fix right now.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
Okay? You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so we have eternity, right? And, you know, if it's a spiritual thing, a moral issue, well, okay, so I do my best to get over it. And then if I anything lacking, the Lord will take care of it in purgation. There you go.
Right.
Okay, so that's all I've got.
That's good. That's good. My last thought is that, you know, Jesus reminds us that he is the way, the truth, and the life.
Mm-hmm.
No one comes to the Father except through him.
That's right.
You know,
mm-hmm.
that's one of our firm beliefs as Catholics,
mm-hmm.
as Christians, that there aren't other pathways.
Right. And remember the story of the pearl of great price, worth reading again, you know,
in the Gospels, you mean?
Yeah. In the Gospels, mm-hmm. the pearl of great price, you know, because you don't want to lose it. You don't want to lose the you don't want to lose, you know, your place in heaven.
Hmm.
Okay, so
good.
Pandemic is nothing compared to losing that.
That's
know?
Right. Yeah, good reminder. And to that end,
mm-hmm.
as a reminder, when are you doing confessions again?
Every Saturday, 3:00 out in the yard.
Yeah.
And it's warm outside, but we're doing them.
And other churches are doing very similar things. So
yes, they are. So that's good news.
People can get to confession
mm-hmm.
To get rid of that sin that gets in the way of them
and I'm back
the
to
pearl.
Back to playing golf on Wednesdays. Very cool. Very cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah. My game picked up right where it left off, which is not a good thing. Hey, a shout out to Kevin Cooper, who had a birthday. I forgot to mention last week. So,
and we also have to mention, I also forgot to mention Art Brito's birthday.
Oh, was it Art Brito?
Last week.
Art Brito?
Yeah.
We love Art Brito.
Yep. Art and Sharon.
Yeah.
Good people.
We love them.
Happy birthday.
Good family.
Art Brito.
Our Brito, and who else I think we should mention? There was some, maybe I already mentioned them.
I can't remember.
Yeah.
You came unprepared, so.
I did a little bit. I think we all did.
Yeah.
What else you got, Will? Any other shout-outs?
No shout-outs.
Really?
No shout-outs.
You know, it's amazing when you just sit and, you know, because you're doing your civil duty.
Right, to be at home.
Be at home and
safe at home. Mm-hmm.
Right, but it's amazing how, because you become, what is it, sedentary? You just sit around, and it makes you more tired. You know what I mean? So I used to take like a 15-minute nap in the afternoon, and I get up, I'm fine. Now I'm taking like 2-hour nap.
Yeah.
And then at night I can still sleep. It's amazing.
It's slowing us all down for sure. Yeah. You know, it's put a little different twist in our daily schedule.
Until it's over.
Mm. Yeah.
Are you still working more than normal, Will, because of work
no,
at home?
No, not after my big event. It's
okay, things
down
are slowing down.
Event.
Good.
But I've got another event in the pipeline that's beginning to eat up a chunk of my time. Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yep.
But hopefully not too terrible.
Full-time dog sitter?
That's right.
Full-time dog owner?
Full-time dog sitter.
Okay, so shall we wrap it up? Because we're just starting to babble.
Yeah, we are. Okay, so I can't think of any other. I know, right?
Excuse me, we've been babbling for an hour.
Right. Yeah. And Red looks like he's starting to get tired. Hey, yeah. I can't think of any more shout outs. How do we get a hold? How do people get a hold of us? How do people, could we, you know, if somebody wanted to join us for a socially distant smoke, we'd certainly appreciate it because, you know, we haven't been seeing very many people lately.
Yeah, maybe I'll get invited this time.
Will could get invited even if we did it that way.
Well, I tell you what, if we get 15 should, people, then Will can go.
If I email the podcast, will you invite me?
Yeah.
But you'll say, you'll have some excuse. Oh, I'm at my apartment.
I don't know. We'll never know because I guess Father Scott's not going to invite me.
Well, that's not my fault, okay? Let's look at the other guy over there.
What? Who's the other guy?
I asked you kindly, can you call Will? And then you didn't do it.
I feel like that may not be true.
Yeah.
Hey, so get a hold of us on iTunes and
Google Play
and
iTunes,
Twitter and the Face Feed and the Snapchat.
Yeah, and don't forget, you can help us keep our church afloat and help us build a new church, sjvnm.org, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Also, that's where you can find our online masses and also the Divine Mercy Chaplet and
Yay.
Get your schedule of confessions, everything else.
Cool.
And please God, in a few weeks, we get to slowly open up. We're going to be very careful.
Sure.
Okay. We're going to sanitize this room, even though I don't think we need to so much.
Right.
Because it pretty much sits empty all day. But, stay out. You know what? If the sun is shining, it's beautiful. Like, stay outside because sunshine kills the virus.
So they say.
No, it does. That's true. That's just.
Well, it definitely makes you healthier.
Yeah.
And being healthy is the sure antidote to any virus.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Okay.
That's great.
Wrap it up, boys.
Redbox Media Programming is brought to you by. Have you ever been put on the spot and asked to explain or defend Catholic teaching on sensitive topics such as abortion, same-sex marriage, or the Eucharist? What to Say and How to Say It is a straightforward and practical resource by Brandon Vogt, best-selling and award-winning author of Why I Am Catholic and You Should Be Too. He offers essential tools for articulating even the most contentious aspects of your Catholic faith with clarity and confidence. You can get a copy of this important new book at AveMariaPress.com. Use code TALKFAITH to get 25% off your copy today. Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small-batch artisan coffee using top-tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic-themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/Redbox Media. Experience coffee like never before.